Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, we find the record of one of the greatest battles ever fought between opposing forces. It was a battle between two human beings, and the victory was one of the most significant in the history of mankind. And aside from the interest and the adventure of this thrilling event, is the impact that it had on ancient Israel, and it is still useful for us today, providing us with practical lessons and illustrations of truths that we need to know and that we need to respect. It was the battle between David and Goliath, one of those accounts of the Old Testament that were written for our learning, Romans 15 and verse 4. The effect of this struggle was tremendous upon so many. First, there was the nation of Israel. They were again victorious over an historical enemy. And second, the Philistines were affected and driven to a new defeat before the people of God. And third, the effect upon David personally was immeasurable because it sent him rocketing to high praise before the nation of Israel. In very short time, he leaped from a mere shepherd lad in Judah to a great warrior and a national hero. And he embarked upon a career of service before Israel that would occupy the remainder of his life. Israel and the Philistines had come to battle, as was often the case between these two peoples. But instead of going into full warfare, as on many other occasions, Goliath, a Philistine giant, stepped forward with a challenge. "Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye the servants of Saul? Choose your man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." 1 Samuel 17, 8 and 9. He proposed, rather than just a wholesale war, a one-on-one fight, a winner-take-all. He would represent Philistia, and Israel should choose their man. Now this challenge sent fear through the Israelite camp, even to Saul. And meanwhile, David, a shepherd lad, had been sent by his father with supplies to David's brothers who were in Saul's army. And while he was there, he was afforded the opportunity to hear Goliath make his repeated challenge. And David inquired what would be done for the man who accepted the challenge and fought the giant to victory. He spoke of taking away the reproach from Israel that had arisen by this giant who defied the armies of the living God. Eliab, David's older brother, he heard David making such remarks, and he rebuked him, telling him that he should return home and tend to those few sheep in the wilderness. He accused David of just having come out to see the battle. Now, Bible students know well the series of events that followed. David was taken to Saul, and after some discussion, he was allowed to go and face the giant. Saul offered David his armor, but David refused it. He took 5 smooth stones and his sling. And upon approaching Goliath, the giant cursed and ridiculed him, boasting how he would give David's flesh to the fowls. But David responded, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee. And I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." 1 Samuel 17:44 and 45. Well, the outcome is well known. David finally beheaded the giant. Israel pursued the Philistines, and a great victory was won for Israel that day. But our study is not simply to recount these events, but to center our attention on another thought suggested by the course of events. When David was taken to Saul as one who volunteered to fight the giant, Saul would have denied him that opportunity on the basis, "Thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." 1 Samuel 17:33. And we would ask, What preparation did David have for such an undertaking? So much was at stake, and the lad was untried with the implements of war. You know, being too young is often reason enough not to grant young people the right to do some things. They should not be expected to discharge adult duties while so immature and inexperienced. It is unfair to them and to others to have to be depending upon their performance when they are not capable to perform. But was David without preparation for this encounter? Our ability to meet the foes of life depend upon how well prepared we are. Battles are lost or won in the preparation stage. Games played on the court or on the field are in a real sense decided in the practice sessions. But our text suggests three great battles David had fought and won prior to meeting Goliath, and those battles equipped him for this supreme moment. First, David had won the battle over self. He had self-control. He possessed self-confidence. He was not arrogant. He was not egotistical. He could control his temper even under trying and provocative circumstances. He did not allow the ridicule and the provocation from his older brother, Eliab, to destroy his confidence nor provoke him to rage. He did not lose his composure when the harsh words were thrown at him by the giant. One who was filled with pride, who was just a show-off, with more talk than substance, quick to fly into rage and anger, would have been a misfit for this crucial time. But David was neither intimidated, nor did he strut for the applause of others. And when his brothers would have stopped him, he simply reasoned, "What have I done?" And he argued, "Is there not a cause?" Well, none could deny there was a cause. Somebody needed to do something, and David just merely recognized that. And so he persisted in his inquiries. And standing before Goliath, he did not cast caution aside. He did not throw out wisdom. But he kept a sober and cool head about him, controlling righteous indignation. And he did not allow the passion of the moment to blur his judgment and his vision. His hand was steady. His mind was unclouded as his vision was clear. He had charge of himself, and this is a mark of genuine maturity, whether exhibited by the young or by the old. And another battle David had conquered was the battle of fear. David said, "Let no man's heart fail because of him." Everyone else was afraid, but not David. There was a reason for his courage. He was not indifferent to the power of Goliath. He did not underestimate or minimize his enemy, but he was not frightened by him. He had faced danger and possible death before this. And while a shepherd lad tending his sheep, a lion and a bear had attacked his sheep. And unlike a mere hireling, he rose to the occasion. He recovered the sheep. He killed the intruding beast. He knew what it was to risk his life in the line of duty. He knew how to respond when duty called. While cowards cannot be trusted, they're likely to just cut and run. David knew that to die while doing what needs to be done is victory, even if apparent defeat may follow. To preserve oneself and neglect duty is worse than death, at least it was to David. His actions are akin to the words of Jesus. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." Luke 9:23-24. His courage was not arrogance, but a trait of character that he had developed earlier that made him ready to meet Goliath. And then a third battle David had won. He had conquered the battle of unbelief. Notice what he said. "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear shall deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." What a great expression of faith in God. And he gave credit to his former successes to God. David was not relying upon himself and his skill with the sling and his own confidence. He had relied on God in times past, and he was doing the same thing now. He had the attitude of Paul, "I can do all things through him that strengtheneth me." The reason that he had been able to win the battle over self and over fear was because he had faith in God. As Paul wrote in Romans 8 and verse 31, "If the Lord be for us, who can be against us?" Friend, cannot we see this historical record has many practical lessons for each of us today? We have our own challenges and our own Goliaths in life, and there are many things that threaten our peace and our happiness and our stability, our security, our purity, even our faith. We're beset with temptations on every hand. No person, especially those that love God, are ever free from the constant pressure from Satan to conform to the world, to commit sin, to just go along to get along. And Peter warned of the devil's mission in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." The devil is far more potent foe against us than Goliath was against David. Goliath could only take David's physical life. Friend, the devil can bring us to spiritual death, and we must be prepared to do battle. Shall we learn that with God we can? Will we learn to control ourselves, often our worst enemy and our greatest weakness? Shall we muster bravery rather than fear, knowing that every temptation has a way of escape because God has promised it, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13? Shall we not remember that temptation is not just an opportunity to sin, but also an opportunity to grow by not yielding to it? And with control of mind and temper, having self-confidence with courage, with faith in God that undergirds it all, no Goliath will make us panic into dismay that characterized most of Israel in the long ago. Rather, we shall be like David. Even when we have what may seem to be inadequate weapons and without the armor of human construction, we'll be able to fight the good fight of faith to an eternal victory. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.